Good morning, and welcome to the Wednesday, December 31st, 2025 edition of Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and today's date is actually Wednesday, December 31st, 2025. It's New Year's Eve. Our front page today features an important bit of information from the Champaign-Urbana Elks Lodge. As I said, the Champaign-Urbana Elks Lodge, located at 903 North Dunlap in Savoy, makes many local charitable donations throughout the year. They say, "We attempt to touch as many areas of the community as possible, with special attention to children and veterans." One such organization that the Elks Lodge supports is an area of the Stevens Family YMCA known as Larkin's Place. They're called the Rolling Heat Wheelchair Basketball Team. Treasurer Bruce Pavalish was contacted by the director of Larkin's Place, Alyssa Anderson, late last year with an idea to start a wheelchair basketball team for 8 to 13-year-old kids. Bruce presented the idea to the Elks Lodge trustees, and their support was unanimous. They helped fund the initial startup cost with funds coming from a trust given to the Elks by Francis Klein many years ago. The trust has been managed well, with donations specified to go to children with special needs. The Elks were able to purchase jerseys, gloves, wheelchairs, and a trailer to haul the gear to and from tournaments. The team started with 2 players and is now up to around 20, with some wheelchair-bound and others using special walkers. Many hours of practice are needed to acquire the skills needed to play wheelchair basketball. Coach Caitlin Eaton is a 2-time Paralympian and knows what it takes to motivate the kids and give them a sense of teamwork and achievement. If you know of a handicapped child or a family that is in need of specialized equipment or other special needs, especially if they have kids ages 8 to 13, please contact the Champaign-Urbana Elks Lodge. Their exalted ruler is Mark Montgomery, and our thanks to the CU Elks. Let's dive right into our community news and notes with our weekly newsletter from the Philo Library. And they begin, "Wow, by the time you read this, it'll be 2026. So many changes in the past 5 or so years, and so many newsmakers. It's always interesting to read the synopsis at the end of the year about important events." One important event is that the Philo Library is still in business and keeping track of the flow. If you didn't know, there are e-books available for you to borrow, easily accessible, unless they're new novels, in which case you might have to wait a bit or make a ask to reserve the books. The only problem is when the e-book is due, it's no longer on your device. But it is a great convenience for people who like to read on their computer, tablet, or phone, and our e-books give you access to a wide variety of choices. If you don't know how to get into this data, stop in, and whichever librarian is working at the desk will be able to help you enjoy e-books this year. This column is short, it's New Year's Eve, but it's sincere, and we wish all of you a happy new year, one filled with joy, friends, family, health, and new reading. And once again, as we say every week, thanks for reading, and have a safe, happy start to 2026. Next, we move on to the Sydney Scoop, brought to us by Ann Roten. She begins by wishing everyone a happy Christmas and a wonderful new year. Her column gives us several new items and meetings to add to our calendars for the new year. She notes, The regular monthly meeting of 2026 for the Village of Sydney Board of Trustees will take place on Monday, January 5th at 7 p.m. in the Sydney Community Building at 211 East Main Street in Sydney. Next, she notes that the Sydney American Legion Post 433 will hold their next monthly meeting at their post home at 221 South David Street in downtown Sydney on Monday, January 19th at 6 p.m. She wishes us all a Happy New Year and invites us to send her our organization's news items, anything that we want published, send to Anne at P.O. Box 491 in Sydney. Don't hesitate to contribute your organization's items. Next up, we have news from Parkland College Starkle Planetarium, which is announcing a variety of new shows for spring 2026. One new show, called Messengers of Time and Space, weaves a story that looks back at humanity's long history with a changing night sky, exploring how our perspective on the universe is being revolutionized. They do this by moon-collecting light across many wavelengths, as well as cosmic rays, neutrinos, and gravitational waves. It sounds like quite a show. Next up is The Hot and Energetic Universe. This presents the achievements of modern astronomy, the basic principles of electromagnetic radiation, and the natural phenomena related to high-energy astrophysics. Another new show is called Out There, The Quest for Extrasolar Worlds, and this show questions whether or not there is actually life on other planets. The planetarium will also feature fan favorites this spring, including Prairie Skies, Expedition Reef, and Sunstruck for adults, and for children, we have Beyond the Sun, In Search of a New Earth. That sounds interesting. Cosmic Colors, Flight Adventures, and Coyote Explores the Earth, Moon, and Sun. These shows will be on rotation throughout the spring. On February 7th and April 11th, a special show called Un Cielo, Un Mundo, La Aventura de Big Bird. This is the sky, the moon, and the adventures of Big Bird at 3:30 on February 7th, and Astronomia, A Grande Scala, Astronomy on a Grand Scale, at 4:30 p.m., also on February 7th. Both shows will be presented by a native Spanish speaker. Next, you can rock out to The Dark Side of the Moon with a light show set to Pink Floyd's album. Patrons will enjoy this full dome show on the first Friday of every month at 9 p.m. and at other selected times. Matinee shows will be featured on February 16th, April 3rd, and March 19th. Shows will not be held on March 20th and 21st. There will also be our sensory-friendly settings on selected Saturday shows. These shows have lights up and sound down settings, and a relaxed atmosphere where patrons can come and go and move around as needed. Everyone is welcome to attend these events. Also, on the first Friday of each month at 7 p.m., the Planetarium will host the Kaler Science Lecture Series. For more information on the spring schedule of the Starkle Planetarium, free observatory open houses, the Galaxy Club, school field trips, and sponsoring a planetarium chair, or renting a telescope, or booking the entire dome, you can call the Planetarium at 217-351-2568, or you can visit their website, which is simply planetarium.parkland.edu. It promises to be a very exciting spring season at the Parkland Planetarium. Next, we're invited to go outside and take a look at the night sky, courtesy of David Leakey, retired director of the Starkel Planetarium at Parkland College. This column covers the period December 31st, New Year's Eve, up to January 6th. And he begins, "We will start the new year with Saturn high in the southwest at sunset. Jupiter rises in the northeast around 5:30 p.m. 2026 should be a good year for stargazing. Each year I write a preview for our Champaign-Urbana Astronomical Society monthly newsletter. Coming up in the new year, there will be 4 eclipses in 2026. 2 will be lunar eclipses and 2 will be solar eclipses. Unfortunately, unless you travel to Europe in August, we won't see either of the 2 solar events. Though, if you do go and need someone to hold your camera case, Mr. Leakey asks us to give him a ring. The February annular solar eclipse is only visible in Antarctica. Now, a total lunar eclipse will be visible to us on March 3rd. But you'll have to get up early, as mid-eclipse is at 5:33 a.m., March 3rd. Yes, I know it's a school night, but believe me, he says, I wasn't consulted in the scheduling. Though it's not a total eclipse, we will see 93% of the moon in the Earth's shadow, called a partial eclipse, on the evening of August 27th. That event will start just after 9:30 p.m., with the peak eclipse time being 11:12 p.m. We'll give you all the details on these events as we get closer to those dates. Next up, we have a wonderful story about the amazing girls that make up the Unity Rockettes dance team. The Unity Rockette dance team started off their season last semester on December 20th at the Heron competition with a first place finish in Class 2A Hip Hop and a qualifying score to go to the IDTA state competition on Valentine's Day. Coach Madeline Wilson Mancuso said, "I'm super excited for this group to compete. They're all such amazing kids and they have so much talent. I'm equally impressed by their poise and sportsmanship as I am by their amazing abilities in dance. I'm trying to coach them to be good humans, but they already have a good foundation. I'm so excited to see what they do at the Illinois Dance Team Competition State Series, as well as in our IHSA sectional." When asked about one of the 13 dancers on the team making an incredible recovery after an automobile crash early in the school year, Coach Maddie said, "She's back to dancing completely and is even competing with her solo, doing all the things she used to do." Rocket Nation has known one of the unique stories from this team this year is about dancer Olivia Eggleston. Her mom, Jody Johnson, gave us this insight on what happened early in the school year as last semester was starting. "It was the morning of August 22nd, she said. Olivia participated in Fist Bump Friday at Unity East. As she was heading to the high school, she was T-boned on the driver's side by a pickup truck. She had to be cut out of the car and suffered 2 fractures in her lower spine, 4 broken pelvic bones, and a partially collapsed lung." As Mom was sharing this story, we got a glimpse of the vehicle and responded that angels must have been watching over her. To that statement, Olivia's mom, Jody, said she never lost consciousness and said her dad was there with her, but we lost him when she was only 4 years old. Continuing on with this amazing journey, her mom says, "She had surgery on August 23rd to stabilize her pelvis, and now she has screws and 2 metal rods in the back of her pelvis. We were told that it would be 9 to 12 months before she would walk without assistance. Olivia had the opportunity to attend a college on a full-ride scholarship solely for her dance team work. Obviously, her entire plan was changed in that instant. She lost that opportunity because she didn't know if she would be able to dance again. She has been a dancer since she was 3 years old. She was and is an extremely busy student. She's in marching band, jazz band, dance team, musicals, show choir in the past, and any other extracurricular activity she can get into. She's an amazingly strong young woman and was determined not to miss any of the marching band competitions, even if that meant playing from her wheelchair, which she actually did, and she had several solos in the performance this year and worked incredibly hard on them. The school wanted her to do homeschool and then return to school half days after a couple of months after she got released from the hospital. However, Olivia was not having any of that. She only spent 13 days in the hospital and came home with a wheelchair, a walker, and crutches. She was released on a Thursday and returned to school full days the following Monday. She was doing so well with physical therapy and healing that her spine doctor and her surgeon both released her with no restrictions when she was 75% healed, and she was already participating back in dance. But as soon as she was released from her restrictions completely, she was going all out in dance, including performing flips. She still gets sore, but she goes and goes. She truly is an amazing young woman, and we can't wait to see where life takes her. She is planning on attending college in Charleston at Eastern Illinois University and going into medical laboratory sciences after being accepted into the Honors College. All the best to the Unity Dance Team, which has been kept busy during the last four weekends of January, and of course on February 14th, when the dance team will be at the state competition, which they already qualified for on December 20th. All the best to the amazing girls of the Unity Rockettes Dance Team. Today's paper includes a lengthy summary of new laws that we will be observing in 2026. They include Illinois expanding job-protected leave for parents with newborns in the NICU, that's the Newborn Intensive Care Unit. New laws will address AI in hiring, workplace transparency, organ donation leave, and more. And the article begins. Illinois workers with a newborn in a neonatal intensive care unit will soon have additional access to job-protected unpaid leave. Governor J.B. Pritzker signed House Bill 2978, dubbed the Family Neonatal Intensive Care Leave Act, earlier this year, and it takes effect on January 1st. It requires employers of between 16 and 50 workers to provide up to 10 days of unpaid leave to employees who have a child in the NICU. Larger employers must provide up to 20 days leave. The law applies to both part and full-time workers. It covers a broader swath of workers than the Federal Family and Medical Leave Act. That law requiring public agencies, K-12 schools, and private companies with at least 50 employees to provide up to 12 weeks of unpaid leave per year. Workers eligible for the Federal Family Leave Act must exhaust that leave first before utilizing the NICU leave, the Illinois law. Employees covered under the law must maintain their employees' health insurance benefits and guaranteed their reinstatement upon the conclusion of leave. Employers cannot force workers to exhaust their paid leave instead of going to their unpaid NICU leave, though employees can take it if they choose. Violations, however, may result in fines of up to $5,000. Here are some other new labor laws that will take effect on January 1, 2026. An amendment to the Illinois Human Rights Act, known as House Bill 3773, prohibits use of AI in employment decisions such as recruitment, hiring, and promotion if that use results in discrimination due to race, religion, sex, or age. The law goes into effect January 1st, and it will require employers to disclose whether or not they have used AI in employment decisions. The measure, however, could potentially run afoul of a recent order that limits how states can regulate AI. Another new House bill, number 1278, prevents employers from disciplining employees for using work devices to document domestic violence, sexual violence, gender violence, or other forms of violence against them or a family member. Employees also have to grant employees access to such documentation and communication stored on the devices. The law was inspired by a New York woman who used her work device to document domestic abuse committed by her husband. She was disciplined by her employer and later murdered by her husband. Another new House bill, number 3638, amends the Illinois Workplace Transparency Act to broaden the definition of unlawful employment practice to include any act prohibited by the Illinois Human Rights Act, the Federal Civil Rights Act, and any other state or federal law covering employment issues. Employment contracts can also no longer include terms that limit an employee's ability to engage in concerted activity, such as collective bargaining. And it prohibits contract stipulations that shorten the statute of limitations for employee claims, apply the law of another state to claims, or require claims to be resolved outside Illinois. Another new bill, House Bill 1616, extends paid leave requirements for organ donors to part-time employees. Under the new law, workers can use up to 10 days leave per year to serve as an organ donor. Part-time workers' pay for these days will be their average daily pay rate over the previous 2 months. Military honors are addressed under a new Senate bill, number 220, in which employers with more than 50 workers must offer up to 8 hours of paid leave per month, capped at 40 hours per calendar year, for employees to participate in a military funeral honors detail. It is in addition to regular paid leave time off. Another new bill, House Bill 3200, allows for someone who voluntarily leaves their job for mental health reasons to be eligible for unemployment benefits. This is a 3-year pilot program that sunsets on December 24, 2028. And another new action, Illinois statewide 1% grocery tax will go away on January 1st, although many people will continue to pay it a grocery tax at the local level. Data compiled by the Illinois Municipal League shows that 656 municipalities, which is a little more than half of all of the state's municipalities, have passed an ordinance establishing their own local grocery tax. Those communities are home to 7.2 million people, or 56.5% of the state's population. Three counties, Washington County, Wabash County, and Moultrie County, have also approved countywide grocery taxes. Governor J.B. Pritzker signed a bill in 2024 eliminating the 1% statewide grocery tax, which he touted as a measure to ease residents' tax burden. But because the revenue from the state grocery tax went to municipal governments, rather than into the state coffers, the measure allowed local governments to levy their own 1% tax via a local ordinance rather than a referendum for voters. Here are some other laws that will take effect in the new year. Hotels, soaps will be phased out. The phase-out of small, single-use plastic bottles in Illinois hotel rooms will continue. Senate Bill 2960, passed and signed into law in 2024, bars hotels from providing toiletries such as shampoo, conditioner, and bath soap in less than 6-ounce plastic containers unless specifically requested by the hotel guest. The ban took effect in hotels with 50 or more rooms on July 1st, and it will take effect for all hotels starting January 1st in the new year. Hotels in violation will receive a written warning for the first offense and be subject to fines of up to $1,500 for each subsequent violation. The legislation is intended to spur the state's hospitality industry to reduce its plastic footprint by shifting to either refillable toiletry containers or larger plastic bottles. Similar laws have been enacted in California, New York, Washington, and other states. Another new bill addresses squatter removal. Senate Bill 1563 will make it easier for authorities to remove squatters who are illegally staying in someone else's residence. The law clarifies that a court-ordered eviction is not required for police to remove squatters from a person's home, and police can enforce criminal trespassing charges against squatters. Governor Pritzker signed the bill in July after squatters moved into a home next door to Representative Marcus Evans in Chicago. According to ABC Channel 7 in Chicago, the Chicago police told homeowners that they could not remove the squatters from the home, and the homeowners would have to go through the eviction process in Cook County Court, which can take months. The new bill will eliminate that heinous procedure. Next, we have some new drinking water protections coming in the new year. Senate Bill 1723 bans carbon sequestration, the process of capturing and storing carbon by injecting it underground. The ban affects any area that overlies, underlies, or passes through a U.S. Environmental Protection Agency designated sole source aquifer. The new law applies to the footprint of the Mahomet Aquifer, which is the main source of drinking water for more than 500,000 people across a 15-county area in central Illinois. It comes as Illinois, especially downstate, is targeted for carbon sequestration projects due to the state's favorable geology and the availability of federal tax credits. Studies, including those conducted by researchers at the University of Illinois, have found minimal risk to water sources from sequestration activity. However, the legislation was a priority for Central Illinois community activists, environmental advocates, and a bipartisan cadre of local lawmakers with zero risk tolerance due to the lack of a clear alternative water source if the aquifer were ever tainted. The bill is not designed to move any team's stadium proposals forward, although the Chicago Stars women's soccer team has previously been reported to be interested in building a new stadium with help from state funding. This concludes our reading of the December 31st edition of Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader. I wish you a happy new year and invite you to join us again next week.